Yeah, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead us. I just want that to be our prayer this morning. God, would you lead us? I thank you that you've met with us in our time of worship. And as we open your word, would you just lead us to hear what you have for us, to see what you want to do in our lives, and just to respond in step with you. We thank you that you hear our prayers and that your promises are true and that you're faithful. Amen. Well, it's good to see some faces in person this morning, but if I'm honest, it's actually a little weird, but like good weird, but still. And for those of you who don't know or haven't registered yet, starting next week, you can go online, well, today, you can go online for next week and register to come and join us in person, and it probably will feel weird for you too. Things aren't totally normal, they're a little strange, but it can be weird and wonderful together. Okay? Perfect. This morning we're going to turn to Galatians 5, verse 16, and read through verse 25. So if you have your Bible, feel free to do that with me. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, but that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there's no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. All right, for those of you who grew up in Sunday school, while I was reading that, you were probably trying not to sing the song. I don't know the song, but my best friend likes to tell me that the fruit of the Spirit isn't watermelon. That's fine. We'll get there. But right out of the gate, we can see there's lots being said, and mainly that walking in the Spirit produces fruit. But before we unpack that, I want to give you guys some context this morning. So, like each epistle, Paul is writing to a specific church for a specific purpose. This time, Paul is writing to the Galatian church to bring correction to the lie that the work of Christ on the cross wasn't sufficient. See, there was this group of people in Galatia, and they were called the Judaizers, and they were trying to convince Christians there that in order to be saved, faith in Jesus alone wasn't enough. They'd persuaded some people to believe that in order to be saved, you also needed to keep the Mosaic Covenant as well. Paul hashes out why we no longer need to do this in chapters 1 through 4, and then reminds us that grace is not an excuse for sin. Most often when people go to read Galatians, they interpret it in a way that dispels the need for any type of legalism. But it actually goes further than that. See, Paul writes to remind us that anything plus Jesus, or Jesus plus anything, is a false gospel that robs the hero of the faith. So, for example, in Galatians, in this letter, we see it was Christ, but also circumcision. Today, though, it looks a little different. For many people, they've experienced Christ, but also white conformity. Or Christ, but voting for a specific political party. Christ, but educating your children a certain way, or worshiping a certain way. Maybe it's even Jesus plus cheering for the Blue Jays. Okay, maybe not the last one. But the point is that anytime we add our own conditions to what we think is required for salvation, we're saying that the work of the cross wasn't enough. And that's not true. It might make us feel more comfortable, but it actually has nothing to do with love, grace, faith, or living into being the diverse and beautiful body of Christ that we're called to. So in the midst of this going on, and with all of this in mind, we find ourselves unpacking an important and bold thought. See, when it comes down to it, Paul tells us that you and I have two choices in how we can live and relate to one another. We can either walk in the Spirit and produce fruit, or live in the flesh apart from God. There's a stark contrast of what this looks like. See, on one hand, we have the fruit. We have love, which is willing the good of another above yourself. Joy, an attitude of evaluating life circumstances with eternal perspective. Peace, living in harmony, lacking hostility, having that inner calm. Patience, being steadfast, the ability to persevere, not being short-tempered. Kindness, literally being generous, full of integrity, considerate, and friendly. Goodness, shining the light of the Lord. Faithfulness, loyal and trustworthy, dependable in accomplishing God's kingdom works. Faithful, loyal, good job, Tiff. Gentleness, living humbly, possessing meekness, and it's a marker of how we relate to one another, and self-control. So living free from extremes, being disciplined, and having our spiritual walk dictate how we operate in our physical bodies. And then at the same time, we see what Paul lists as work of the flesh. See, these are sins marked by excess in areas of sexuality, drinking, religiosity, and relationships. But it's important to highlight three things. Both these lists are neither abstract or exhaustive, and that they're not fruit of the Spirit and fruit of the flesh. See, fruit grows on trees, vines, bushes. Fruit requires time, sunshine, good soil, water to grow. And when fruit is ripe or fully mature, it's delicious, often juicy, and provides energy. It sustains life. Works of the flesh, on the other hand, are laborsome. They destroy relationships. They put us at conflict within ourselves, and they're selfish. They operate against the will of God and can often look a lot like the lies our culture will try and sell us, like, if it feels good, do it, or you deserve to be happy. So if we want to choose to walk in the Spirit, because that's ultimately the choice that Paul tells us we should as Christ followers, how do we do that, and what does that look like? Well, if you've been tracking with us through the last couple weeks, you would have heard Pastor Rich say, if you profess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, then the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. So for many of us today, who call ourselves Christians, we're already filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's excellent news, because we can't do any of these things on our own. But in verse 25, we also read, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So maybe the better question is, how do we keep in step with the Spirit? In John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So we shouldn't be surprised that walking in the Spirit will also produce fruit, because we know we serve a triune God. We have God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all equally God, operating in harmony, but functioning differently. So if we're called to abide in Jesus and spend time at his feet and in his word, just like Mary did, and we're also called to walk and keep in step with the Spirit, it's really not a big surprise that both would produce fruit. But I don't know that we can do one without the other. See, unless we spend time with Jesus and in his word, we're not really going to know about God's character, recognize his voice and his will. And so when we go to walk in the Spirit, we might not do that well, because we're not in tune with what's going on. But that's okay, because walking in the Spirit isn't a finish line that we cross. It's a way we live. And so we can choose to abide in Jesus and walk in the Spirit all the time, every day. It's a growth. It's a choice. We keep doing it. We can begin now. So, like a fruit on a vine or a tree, be encouraged. Not every season looks the same. Actually, in John 15, Jesus also says that God prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so it's even more fruitful. So we're called to abide in Jesus and bear fruit. We're called to keep in step with the Spirit and bear fruit. And then when we are doing these things and bearing fruit, Jesus tells us that God's going to prune us. I want to tell you a story about pruning. I'm not a gardener. I'm not like a plants person. If I spend time outside, it's hiking, camping, at the beach. It has nothing to do with getting my hands in the dirt. And so there was this moment where my mom pruned her tree one time. And they had this big, beautiful tree in their front yard, and it, you know, had all of these branches and leaves and flowers. And I show up in the fall one year, and it's just like hacked back, like to nothing. And I remember looking at Jeff and being like, oh my goodness, what has happened? Like they took this beautiful tree, and now it's like literally a couple sticks. And I was like, huh, that's neat. But the crazy thing happened. Over the years, this tree has now become more lush and more beautiful, and every year it has more blossoms and those annoying little cherry fruits on it that fall. And it actually has grown in thicker and better than before. See, there was nothing really wrong with the tree, but it's still more beautiful and fruitful than it used to be. And I had to learn that sometimes pruning or hacking back isn't like a beautiful thing. And so maybe you're evaluating your life this morning and you're like, okay, God, Holy Spirit, I know that there are seasons in my life where I've produced fruit. And some seasons I've borne more fruit than others. Ask yourself, the seasons where you weren't bearing the fruit you thought, was it because you were out of step with the Spirit, or was it a season of pruning? Only you and the Spirit can discern that together. But both of them are an option. Sometimes pruning is uncomfortable. We're like, God, I was in this season. I was doing what you were calling me to do. I was in the Word, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking you, and I'm being filled with the Spirit, and yet it just doesn't feel like I'm quite as fruitful as before. Don't be discouraged. Keep doing those things, because the fruit will come. Remember, it takes time as well. So I'm going to already wrap up here. See, one of the greatest commands we as God's children have ever been given is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in the Old Testament, the way that we loved God and the way that we loved people or were to do that was laid out for us in the Ten Commandments. And when Jesus comes, he tells us that he hasn't come to abolish the law but to fulfill it. And in Matthew, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, he basically takes the Ten Commandments and then raises the bar. And it's no longer just about external behavior. He comes after our attitudes and our character first. And when I think about the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit, I think about those two commands: love God and love people. So you can only love God because he first loved you. And we can only love people when we're filled with God's love for people. See, like a tree that bears much fruit, when we're rooted in the Word and when we're reaching out towards the sun and we give ourselves time with Jesus and we're being filled with living water, then yeah, we're gonna bear fruit. Earlier I said fruit sustains life. But fruit doesn't sustain the tree it comes from. It's produced for others to enjoy. In the same way, if we're abiding in Jesus and keeping in step with the Spirit, our lives, our character will be transformed, not solely for our own benefit, but also for those around us. Remember, Paul is teaching the church here how to relate to one another again. And this type of character can't be obtained in our own strength. That's why Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Yet, it's one of the greatest witnesses we can have for others to what it means to belong to Jesus. Love, willing the good of another above yourself. I don't know how many of you can do that in your own strength. That's not natural for me. We're selfish, broken beings. We don't naturally want to will the good of another above ourselves. Joy. It's not just an emotion. It's an attitude of evaluating life circumstances with eternal perspective. Peace. Living in harmony amongst each other, amongst our differences. Lacking hostility. Having that inner calm, not being racked with worry. Patience. Again, being steadfast, able to persevere, not being short-tempered, kindness, being generous in spirit, full of integrity, and friendly. Feels hard to be friendly these days. I feel like you smile with people with your masks on, and they have no idea if they're just looking at you or what. But God tells us that kindness and friendliness, true kindness, comes from Him. Goodness, shining the light of the Lord through your life. Faithfulness, trustworthy and dependable in accomplishing God's kingdom work. Gentleness, living humbly, possessing meekness. It's how we relate to one another. And self-control, living free from extremes and being disciplined, allowing our spiritual walk to dictate how we operate in our physical bodies. The fruit of the Spirit is all-encompassing. You can't just pick some of these and choose to work on them. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and when you're keeping in step with the Spirit, it's these things that will be produced, not just some of them. And so when you listen to this list and when you think about abiding in Jesus, when you think about walking in the Spirit, they all go together. And that should be really encouraging. Because when I read this list and I think about it myself, I'm like, ooh, can't do that on my own. Maybe someone as graceful as Derek, who's been living the faith and fighting the good fight for a long time, can. But I certainly cannot. But there's a couple things we can do. First, this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus and His gift of salvation and you want to do that, that's great. Doing that and praying that and just telling Him that you need Him and that, you know, you want to trust in Him, you believe that He's the Son of God, that He died and rose again for your sin. That's like step one. That's like when the Spirit dwells within us and we have that assurance. And that same power that rose Christ from the grave now is inside of us and we get a little excited. But maybe you've done that, and you're at a point in your life where you're filled with the Spirit, but, like, you're at a sink. You're like, He's kind of walking over here, and you're kind of walking over there, and, like, you know what you're supposed to be doing, but life is so busy that you're maybe rushing ahead or falling behind, or life is so loud and your life is full of noise that you actually can't hear what He's trying to say to you, and when you do hear, you realize too late. Just take a sec. And quiet yourselves before the Lord. He's there. He's always been there. Promises to never leave us or forsake us. Maybe you've produced fruit and you're in a season of pruning. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes it's like God, like we know winter is important. But winter can feel so long. And speaking to a room of people who live in Prince George, you know that winter can be so long. Like, the longest. But we get so excited when spring comes and summer comes and everything is green and that fruit begins to bud and produce. And it's just that much sweeter. Keep walking with the Holy Spirit. Keep pressing in. Keep just wasting time with Jesus. Just being with him. The fruit will come. It's not on your own strength. Most likely, we all fall in one of those camps. And that's good. That's okay. We're all at a different part of the journey. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells with you. You're to walk. You don't have to figure it out on your own when you hear this list of fruit. It's all from the work of the Spirit in our lives. And so, you know, normally right now we would like play a song and we would reflect and we'd ask the Holy Spirit to just like show us. Show us where we are in our journey. And that's good, and we want to do that. And I pray that you would do that this week. But I actually think we've been in a season of like winter, a season of COVID, a season of separation for so long that we just need to remind ourselves that we're not alone and that this isn't all in vain. And that it's not in our own strength. And so if you're tired from trying to grow your own fruit, that's fine, just stop. Stop. Today I want to just rejoice and be encouraged and get excited that living for Jesus, abiding in Jesus, walking in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit will produce fruit and it will witness to the people around us. Woo! Because one day the doors will open and we won't have to wear masks and you won't have to register ahead of time. And we want the people out there that don't know Jesus to see our lives and know that something is different and it's not something we could obtain in our own strength. And we want to just see our city impacted with the gospel. We want to be squished. Man, wouldn't it be weird to be squished again? So good. Weird and wonderful. So Jay's going to close us out, and we're going to just, like, praise the Lord. And if you're here, you got your mask on, we're not supposed to sing, but you can clap. You can do all sorts of things. Get creative, worship God in spirit and truth. Woo! Okay? And if you're at home, you can sing. You can be loud. You can be crazy. Do it. I dare you. Like, get a little crazy for Jesus this morning. Let's get excited that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and that these things aren't done in our own strength. And then that's it. We'll pray. We'll continue on with our week. But don't leave it here. Think about this. Go back to Galatians 5:16 this week and read about what the fruit of the Spirit is again. Meditate on it again. Abide in Jesus through this time. I keep giving you guys homework, but it's important. It's important to learn how to do these things for ourselves outside of Sunday morning. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to worship God together. God, we thank you that you came to save us, that we can't save ourselves. But in the midst of it, you made a way. And Jesus, you died and you rose again and you ascended to heaven, but you didn't leave us alone. You gave us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. And by living in the Spirit, by keeping step in the Spirit, our lives are transformed, not just for our own benefit, but for broadening your kingdom, for witnessing to the lost, for helping us love you and loving people better. Help us to remember that. Help us to get excited that you're at work in our lives. Help us to see what you're doing beyond what we can see in our own. Fill us with joy. Fill us with urgency. In a season where weariness and discouragement is becoming more and more evident, help us to look different than those who are coming out of this pandemic that don't know the Lord. God, we need you, and we know that life is hard, and we don't pretend that it's not, but in the midst of it, we have eternal perspective where our hope comes from, where our joy comes from. Jesus, help us to evaluate our lives so that we're not so busy that we can just sit and waste time with you, because time with you is actually never wasteful, but our culture will tell us that we have to produce. Hustle. And you tell us to actually rest in me, abide in me, be with me, and then out of that, everything else flows. Help us to get our priorities straight. Like a tree, would we be rooted in your word, arms stretched out to the sun, and being just filled with living water? God, I'm excited for what you're doing in the midst of the pandemic. I'm excited about what you did before the pandemic. And I am so excited about what you're going to do post-pandemic. Because you're a God who has a plan, who's faithful to his promises, and who clearly isn't finished yet. And so, Jesus, until you return, help us to live in that tension. I'm excited. Jesus, help us to be excited. Oh, and we pray this in your holy, powerful name, and all God's people, and the ones I could hear in the building said, Amen. Amen.